Simply. This is she, and I want to thank you for joining us in this moment. We have special guest David Tucaro. He is going to share his life-changing story. It is encapsulated in a book called Bad to the Bone, written by Marla Scott. He will inspire you to think about becoming a donor, educate you about simply living with joy, love, and gratitude, and how he has found his passion to help others. Without further ado, let's dive in.
David, I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm really honored and excited for you to share your wisdom and aspects of your story in relation to your recent book that was released, Bad to the Bone, the true story of your life thus far. Where we're going to dive in is if you could share a little bit before the story began, just about your roots, being that you're from First Nations, and what you feel that that aspect of you has led you and guided you through this journey.
Okay. Well, I'm born and raised in Fort McMurray, Alberta. I'm a Miccosukee Cree First Nation, Native American, and I think, you know, my creator has put me on my life's path and really thrown a lot of tests my way, and it is really just strengthened me throughout time to get to a place where I'm able to share and help other people heal in a time of, you know, desperateness when it, you know, couldn't be any worse.
If you can share a little bit about that deep, maybe that deep faith that was resurrected for you during this life-shifting experience that has given you the power to really embrace your life in a different way than you had up until that point.
Well, yeah, I before life was normal, I was working, didn't really have any goals or aspirations in life, and was just kind of existing, not living. And I just got to the, my creator got to the point where he wanted me to finally start realizing that I have a lot more to live for. And that's when I was, you know, really tested by, you know, getting the leukemia and, you know, fighting that to be at a place where I'm able to help serve people and help bring awareness to the situation, and especially bring awareness to the importance of bone marrow donation.
And can you share a little bit about that word, the preciousness of life, and how you have reconnected to what that means for you and what you hope to inspire others to remember about the preciousness of life?
Well, the thing about life is it's really short. And for some reason, people have the notion that we live forever when it just doesn't work that way. And the time we have on Earth is such a short period of time, and to not live it to its fullest is really really a sad thing, because that's, you know, what I was doing was just existing, not living. And by this story, I'm hoping to reach people to start living and not existing.
And living, what does that mean for you? What are you enjoying and engaging in now that you weren't before?
Just helping people, you know, getting the phone calls or the emails or the in-person, you know, talking to me saying, your book is affecting me in this way because, you know, for example, my friend has it, and this book, you know, hit me in a way that I think my friend could really use this book. So thank you for the book. I'm going to give this to my friend. You know, that was one of the cases that I had last year in Canada when I did an event, and it was from one of the people you would never expect to really break down as a hardened kind of worker in the field, you know, that just doesn't show any emotion. And this book has given people that power to really start living and not existing.
And if you could share a little bit, because as I mentioned before, I elected not to read your book, so I wouldn't give too much away in our conversation till after we speak. And I'm actually excited to share it with a family that's facing leukemia right now. If you can share a little bit about what inspired me and what I allowed myself to read, was that you shared a little bit about placing your story on your body, your art on your body, and that you would share a little bit more, depending on people, how they authentically engaged with you. Can you share a little bit about that story that you're communicating on your physical being and how that has shifted through this experience, and has the short story shifted that you maybe consciously and subconsciously laid out before you walked through this path of leukemia?
Well, before, you know, getting done what I got done, I had always wanted to get tattooed. It was just something I was always like, you know, I've always liked the artwork that was that came with it. And I had a couple done, not a lot, and then after I went through what I went through with leukemia, I just said to myself, you only live once, David. You just do what it makes you happy and tell a story. Don't just do just some random tattoo that looks cool. Do something that means something. And so instead of, you know, getting like one piece on my arm, I got several little pieces to contribute to the arm. And, you know, I've got Survivor on my knuckles. I've got a nurse that I got for the nurses that have helped me. Or, you know, I've got a Grim Reaper because he's not caught me. I've got a dedication piece to the people that have not made it. I've got an angel overlooking. You know, I've got just a bunch of different tattoos on me that really explain my story. And, you know, if people want to learn more, which, you know, is always common, I always get the question, I like your tattoo, what does it mean? And then that's when I kind of jump into the story of what I went through, and I always finish it off with showing the Survivor piece on my knuckles at the end, and that just always blows people away.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And that visual expression leading into story, and being that you are indigenous to First Nations, how do you feel that that's an aspect of your inner being and carrying it out in the modern world right now?
I don't know. I think the tattoos are just, you know, it is a cultural thing. You know, it started with the New Zealanders. And I think for me, the tattooing was just a way of communication for people. And just to, you know, because I'm a very shy person, and I like to, you know, people to know that there's absolute hope out there. So that's kind of the reason why I put the tattoos on my body, was to give other people hope in that, you know, you don't have to succumb to the fate of cancer. You can overcome that very easily.
Mm. And if you can share a little bit of just wisdom, because oftentimes when any of us go through a passage that where we feel our mortality, if you can share a little bit of inspiration for those that might be walking through leukemia or something else, that where they're actually facing their mortality, and what helped you during that passage.
There's a lot that helped me through that. There was, you know, a nurse had said to me, you know, just imagine good cells attacking bad cells while I was getting chemo. And as cliche and as kind of simple as that sounds, it really worked. There was another affirmation a friend said to me, which was power through it, which I said to myself every day, all the time, power through it, power through it, power through it. And for some reason, those three words really stuck with me. It really motivated me to just take everything head on, not to look at it as a defeating challenge or as life or death, but just to look at it as, you know, just you're in a ring and you just got to knock something out. And that's how I looked at it, was, you know, it was just me versus this, and I knew I was going to overcome it by, you know, one, believing and praying to God, and two, just putting a positive energy, you know, I'll get through this, I can get through this, I know I can do this, I can do this, I can get through this. Anything is possible with, you know, praying to God and being as positive as possible. There is always going to be good that will come from that.
What did you appreciate, or what do you appreciate more now, and do you feel that has stayed with you and will stay with you for the rest of your life?
My appreciation for the little things. Mm-hmm. When I was, you know, in the hospital, it was the little things for me, like not being able to feel the wind blow in my face or the rain fall on my head. You know, so I take little things like that now. I don't take those for granted anymore. I really appreciate the little things in my life, because even walking on the concrete with shoes, you know, even that was taken away from me, and it was the little things that I missed doing, you know. So it was really trying to get back to being able to do those little things again was another part of my, you know, psyching myself up to beat this, was knowing that I could go back outside again and enjoy that air and rain and the feeling on my feet.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And if you can share a little bit, another part that I had read, just the impact for you and your family. Oftentimes people don't realize, unless they walk through this type of experience or one similar, how everyone deals with it differently. And if you can share a little bit with the listeners how they might be able to, one, get help if they need to digest what they're going through, so they can support the person walking through the treatment a little bit more reasonably or sensibly or objectively or compassionately, what you found or what you feel, if you have an opinion about that.
Well, for parents that really want to know more, or friends or family that want to know more about a loved one's, you know, situation, I know for leukemia, there's, in every city, there's a Leukemia Lymphoma Society chapter, and I know they're really good at, you know, giving information and really helping people to understand better what the situation is. So really, it's a matter of just looking up your local Leukemia Lymphoma Society and just signing up for the dates for helping understand the situation. They do all kinds of seminars on that, and they're really good for helping out, you know, family and friends going through this, as well as the survivor or the person that may not have made it. You know, they're always there for everybody in kind of all facets.
Mm. What did you feel was the biggest support, one of or a couple of the ways for you to be supported during this process?
For me, it was having my family and friends there, but it was also talking with God and just, you know, having a conversation with Him every day. You know, just, I know what you're doing, just please make sure my family's okay, because I know I can get through this. I don't want to see them hurting anymore. That was probably the biggest thing for me.
Hmm. With the book, how was it working with someone so intimately to share your story and entrusting them to convey your message in a way that would help others, inspire others?
Well, that's a good question. I read In Our House from Marilla Scott, and I had reached out to her hoping that she might take on my story, and I you know, give her a bit of information on what I'd gone through and what my story was and why I needed to write the story. And I told her it was because I know I need to help people. My purpose from this is to help people understand that what people like me go through with leukemia is can be empowering, because we can bring a family together, a community, a country, or the world together. And that's, you know, what God's plan is as well, is to really bring people closer together by this situation. And writing this with Marilla was such an amazing opportunity and such an amazing gift, because for me, it allowed me to open up parts of me that I didn't really want to open up before, that I just held so deep inside of me, because I don't know if it was shame or if it was just sadness, but there's different emotions that came with certain things. But she got those out of me in such a healthy way that I left all of those emotions on the paper. I don't harbor those feelings anymore, because they're all on paper.
Mm, beautiful. And having this book as a support and a seed of inspiration, where would you like it to go, and who would you like to read this?
I want the world to read this, and from this book, I really just want to show the importance of how bone marrow donations are needed, how they can save lives, and just the simplest act of donating bone marrow can give the greatest gift ever, and that is life. So I'm trying to create more of these stories where you know, people are donating marrow and then meeting the donor, you know, and the recipients get to meet the donor, because that is such a such an empowering thing, you know, meeting the person that gets to save, that saved your life. When I met my bone marrow donor, I don't even know what I felt. Not like nothing but joyous, happy feelings came over me. And when I hugged the man that saved my life, I'm like, thank you. You did that for me, you know. You didn't have to, but you did. So I want to create more of these really positive stories of meeting your donor and the recipients, and just, you know, bringing those to light.
Mm. And if you can share with the listeners how to become a donor and what's involved.
Oh, it's easy. If you go to my webpage, www.davidtuckerow.com, you can sign up to become a bone marrow donor, and it's a simple process. It's not painful. It's not invasive like everybody thinks it used to be. It's not anymore. It's simple. It is, they give you medication for a week to build up the bone marrow, and then you go into the hospital or into the office, and they'll just simply put a needle in one arm and filter the blood in a machine. It shakes out the marrow, and it puts the rest of the blood back into you, but it keeps the marrow. So it's a very easy process now. And what they do before that is when you swab your cheeks after you've gotten the kit, you send it back. They will test your DNA, and if you match somebody, they will let you know, and then that's when that process begins. Other than that, you will wait there until you are called upon to become a bone marrow donor, in which it is a very easy process.
Mm. And how did you get the opportunity to meet your donor?
I mean, after 2 years is when you're allowed to try to contact your marrow donor, and it took me 4 years. Somewhere it got lost in translation because I was repeatedly writing to the Vancouver Bone Marrow Registry, and my bone marrow donor was writing to the BKMS in Germany, and it just wasn't connecting. And then after a couple of years had gone by, I got a call, and David, we found your bone marrow donor. Would you like to meet him? To which, you know, I obviously cried tears of joy and said, yes, of course. I would love to meet the man that saved my life. And they said, well, we can't tell you much about him right now. So I said, okay, is he male, female, where are they from, and how old? And they told me all that, and I just, there's something in me that knew that my bone marrow donor was from Germany. I'm not sure what it was, but I think it's because it's so far ahead of the curve when it comes to cancer research and all that development stuff that I just felt that it was from Germany, and sure enough, it was.
Mm. And how do you feel connected, being that you received a part of someone else's being that's in your being now?
Hey, he gave me the blood type B positive, and I came up with two matches, and his blood type was B positive, and I thought, you know what, if I'm going to live life like this, I want to be positive, I need to live the blood type.
Mm.
I'll take that blood type. So that's really how I came about to meet my bone marrow donor, was just simply his blood type.
Wow.
So my blood type now is literally B positive.
I love it. That couldn't be any more perfect.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, there's just too much symbolism here, and I just love it, you know? It's great. And, yeah, be positive. So I eat it, I live it, I breathe it. I'm positive. I got to be it, you know? It's just how I have to live life. I have to be as positive as I can, because no matter how bad my situation is, somebody else out there has it worse. And I've always thought that, and I just, for me, it was about connecting with that person who has it worse to make them have a better chance at life.
Mm, beautiful. And can you share a little bit about what you have been doing since the book has come out, speaking engagements, reaching out to communities, and what you're available to do?
Oh, I've done quite a few talks already. I just got back from Toronto last month, where I did a talk for the Aboriginal Businessmen Hall of Fame. And that was actually the second time I've done that for them. I talked for a group of companies up in Fort McMurray, Alberta, Canada. And that story I told you earlier about the hardened worker that came up to me that broke down, it was at that event. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the stories I'll always remember, was that guy crying. Mm-hmm. Tears of joy. I've got another upcoming event at the end of April in Kelowna, British Columbia. It's the Daffodil Ball, which is for the Canadian Cancer Society to raise awareness and to raise funds for more research to help childhood cancer research development. So, I'm really busy right now with doing a lot of talks and really just empowering people to go out there and be productive members of society, and by that I mean donating bone marrow.
Mm. Beautiful. And what information, because oftentimes when we go through something medical, especially, we become really well informed about things we never imagined we'd become informed about. What were some of those seeds of information that you took away that now that you have a better understanding even about the way your body operates and how that's integrated into this positive way of living?
I absolutely love this question, and the reason why is because I learned a whole new language going through what I went through, and that is I can understand the doctor's language and lingo. So if they say, you know, he needs a L4, L5 lumbar puncture, I know I need a spinal tap, you know. So little things like that, you know, I knew the lingo. I picked up on it really quickly because I had no choice but to understand what they were saying to me, because I needed to know what they were doing to me in order to understand better how I needed my body to be prepared to handle the upcoming, you know, scenario. So really, you know, that's a great question. And, yeah, for me, it was really learning the lingo of what the doctors were saying and the nurses were saying.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes when we go through any type of disease, we start to have an idea, and I know aspects of this are shared in your book about your story, but if you can share a little bit about the emotional subsets that you realized that potentially realized that needed to be liberated during this process, can share a little bit about that with.
It took for me to nearly die to realize that I had to live. By that I mean, you know, I had to be faced with something so severe, so scary, so real, that I had no choice but to take it head on and, you know, make it, you know, history and still be here to, you know, share the positivity that came through this, because there's a lot of darkness that comes with the situation. And I'm not going to sit there and say, you know, it's the easiest thing in the world to get through, because it's not. What I'm trying to say is if you have a positive mind frame throughout this whole thing, it's going to better you in the end, because if you don't have positivity and you don't have hope, then you've just given in. And that's, you know, that's, you're not going to get anywhere if you give in. You have to keep fighting. And my message is to really not end that fight, no matter what the situation is to always continue it and just to, you know, fight for yourself, fight for your life, to fight for your happiness. And that's really what the story is, the goal of the story is here.
Mm, beautiful. Can you share right now what makes you the happiest in your daily life?
Oh, my fiance makes me the happiest in my daily life. Waking up to her and hanging out with her, holding her hand, seeing her smile. Yeah, she's my everything. Mm. I love her. Yeah, absolutely love my fiance.
Oh, that's good. That's really beautiful.
Done more for me. You know, she just makes me want to be a better person every day.
Mm, nice. That's a good companionship. Can you share we talked a little bit about children versus adults, and if you can share a little bit of hope and inspiration for anyone out there that is actually going through leukemia treatment, and just give them a little love and whatever comes to mind.
Kids are more resilient for some reason. They're Superman when it comes to childhood cancer, because they don't really understand the magnitude of just how severe it is, and that's why, you know, children are can handle this a lot easier and beat this a lot easier. But as you grow older and start to hear more and more stories, it kind of builds up in your head that it's a really horrible thing. So when I heard the words leukemia, everything in my head just went silent. And you know when you get the ringing in your ear? That just went really loud, and I just didn't know how to take it. I knew what leukemia was, but I didn't. So as an adult getting cancer, it is the scariest thing in the world, because that is literally the life sentence that you do not want to get. So if you're going to go into it and you're in a positive frame of mind, again, that sounds very cliche, but if you're in a very positive frame of mind throughout this, put up positive affirmations, positive energy, it comes back to you in different forms, in different ways, but it's the healing that comes with it. There's little gifts you get every day, little tiny bits of positivity. You need to be able to be conscious enough to accept and understand what they are and take those in, because the little more and more that you build up the positivity, it works. It really does work, and it just helps get better through the situation you might be faced with.
Mm. And if you can share a juxtaposition of that, because sometimes people have a resistance, especially when they're going through deep suffering or darkness, if you can just share from your perspective where you noticed your positivity and then maybe noticed someone else that was in similar shoes, but they weren't there, and how that made you kind of help realize the importance of that positivity.
Well, first off, if anybody out there is in that kind of a dark place, and you know, the only way to get out of a dark place is to change your habits, change the way you think, to change the way you're doing things, because for some reason the darkness is consuming you, and if you're letting it consume you, it will consume you. But like I said, the only way to stand up to darkness is to be positive. And so if you're going to be positive, then all that darkness that consumed you will go away. And it sounds a lot easier said than done, but it really is easier said than done. You know, all you have to do is start changing little things, the way you speak, the way you think, the way you talk, the way you write, and put a positive spin on it. It might be cheesy at first, but it works. It absolutely does work. Mm-hmm. That is the power of the mind.
Definitely. And doesn't it feel a lot better?
Yeah, absolutely it is, you know. It can be the darkest of days out there, and I'll still find light somewhere, you know. And that's the fun of life now, is finding the positive things in life, the good side of life.
Nice. David, if you can repeat your places to find you, your website.
You can find Bad to the Bone, written by Marilla Scott, on Amazon.com, on paperback or ebook. You can get it on BarnesandNoble.com. You can get it on iTunes.com. You can get it on my website again, www.davidtuckerow.com. In Canada, you can get it on indigo.ca and rituk.ca, and also in North America on kobo.com.
Hmm. And
so it's available everywhere.
Everywhere, and we'll put the links below.
Everywhere.
And if what city is the ball in? Is that open to general public, or is that by invitation only in Canada?
Oh, that's, I think you have to reserve a seat for that, but that's in Kelowna, British Columbia, and that's, I believe, April 28th or 29th. It's the last weekend in April in Kelowna, British Columbia. So if you want to look up the Canadian Cancer Society, I think it's that, and they just put in the Daffodil Ball in Kelowna, and it should take you right over there. I think you just sign up and register for a table or a seat, and that's to get in.
Mm, beautiful. Well, David, I really appreciate your wisdom and your willingness to see life on the lighter side. And I highly recommend that everyone read your book, as I am going to now. it's hard with when you have a life story, you don't want to give it away. So.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Don't want to give it away. But we have all the links below. So I really appreciate you being here and being an inspiration for people to give in such a simple, beautiful way.
And thank you so very much for having me and allowing me to share my story with you and your audience. It's just such a tremendous thing. It means a lot to me to help empower other people to go out there and donate some bone marrow and start saving some lives and creating some of these stories of the recipients meeting the donors, because it's an incredible story.
Mm, definitely.
Once again, I want to thank David for joining us today. Please connect to his work below, Bad to the Bone, written by Marilla Scott. And if inspired, connect further to see how you might be able to help give someone life. Until next time, we're going to exit out with Fields of Gold by Jake Shimabukuro. And take a moment just to connect to the beauty of life and the simplicity it offers. Until next time, this is she signing out with a deep bow, a full heart, bright eyes, a big smile, and a namaste.